Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Side with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Hope you're having a good one, a good holiday season. I hope you continue to have a good one. I hope you continue to have a very safe one. Please be safe. Please slow down just a little bit. Give me 5 miles an hour. I want you to drive just a little bit slower because I want you to remember this. The life you save may be mine. I'm out on the road there, too, and I don't want you running over me. But I also want you to be safe, too. I want Scott Kaywood to be safe, too. But by the way, folks, Scott's a friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of Destination Profit. He's a guy who helps companies all over the planet improve their profitability. And he talks to folks all over the world about these very important things. And he's our friend. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's a pleasure to be back on board. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. And you know, here we are, hard by to Christmas. We're at the end of Hanukkah. And what kind of profitability stories have you got for us?
Well, the year wrapped up, in some cases, pretty good. It certainly across some industries did better than others. But the average kind of message this year was that people did some good things. We saw a little bit of drop overall relative to what employers were doing for employees. We didn't see a lot of increases this year because it was kind of coming off of a down, you know, a couple of years past. But we did see some good, we have some good signs that we're going into 07 pretty strong. And we're seeing some employers roll out some new benefits and new programs, which are good. So I'm optimistic for 07. It's going to be a good year for employees and employers, which is good.
So you make a direct connection between benefits and the relationships with employees and profitability, don't you?
Well, I think that what a company gives back to employees shows a pretty clear message of whether or not they care about them. So I think it's, you know, we can always look at that and see. I mean, I think benefits are really more than just taking care of the basic needs. They also demonstrate whether or not you really care about your people.
You know, let me tell you how that manifests in small businesses. Small businesses, their default attitude is giving back to the company. By that I mean, it's not so much about them taking money out for themselves either. Many times, in small businesses, there are employees who have leveraged compensation plans, like salespeople and people who are on bonus plans. They may make more money than the owner does.
Absolutely.
Because the owner of a small business, all small businesses are undercapitalized. That's Blasingame's first rule of small business. It's redundant to say undercapitalized small business. And so what we're always looking for is new ways to strengthen our company. If we have some extra profits, then we buy a new machine, or we buy a new vehicle, or we create a marketing plan, or we add value to our website, or whatever it might be. And from the owner's perspective, that's helping all of us have a job. That's what they would think. That's trying to help everyone make sure that we stay in business and we all have a job. From the employee's perspective, it might not look that way, though.
That's true. You really got to be clear and transparent with what you're doing with that extra cash. And I don't think, you know, if you've got a choice to make between reinvesting $10,000 in the company, you know, you might want to take a small percentage, something tiny, and do some type of gesture for employees so it does have some meaning for them as well. And we're not talking about big stuff here, Jim. One of my favorite things to look at in Great Places to Work is we always ask companies on these Best Places to Work lists, you know, what do they kind of give to employees they don't have to give? And the overwhelming thing that comes back is that almost 75% of these companies offer some type of free daily snack. It could be chips and dips. It could be Doritos. It could be, you know, Little Debbie's. It could be a free lunch here and there. And so we ask employees all the time, well, why is that important to you? Why is the fact they give you M&Ms important? And they keep telling us that it's just the fact that the company gave something that they didn't have to give. I mean, you got to pay people. Mm-hmm. You got to give them a place to work. You got to give them a computer. But you don't have to give them M&Ms. So you can make a list in your company of things that you give that you don't have to give. my sense is that you're on the right track if you start listing those things out. And you've got a list of a couple things. I mean, people really appreciate that stuff.
Well, and it's those little gestures. I agree with you. Around here is chocolate-covered peanuts, by the way.
There you go. Huh?
Yeah. Whatever cranks your tractor, right? But you know, I agree with you. And you know, making little gestures, maybe ordering pizza in or you know, if you send out for food for a business meeting that the employees are not involved in, unless you got hundreds of employees, you know, maybe send out and get everybody a sandwich.
Exactly.
That's something that we do around here. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Scott K. Wood is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He and Rita Bailey are the authors of Destination Profit, Creating People Profit Opportunities in Your Organization. And he and I will be right back. Happy holidays. Tony Tell, stay with us. Back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Dr. Scott K. Wood is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is the co-author of Destination Profit, where he and Rita Bailey talk about creating people profit opportunities. Tell us what you mean, and I know you've been working more on this, Scott, about how to get the most ROI out of the investments you make in your people. What is people profit opportunity?
Well, it's really looking at your business. And I would argue, Jim, that everybody, no matter what industry or product you're making or service you're getting or you're giving, that you are really in the people business. And we really want you to focus on people as a way to make money. Most of us jump right to the customer, which is it's always a strong strategy. But the reality is your people deal with your customers. So we want the focus of leadership to be right with your people, so that the results that you get and the results that you want are really achieved. And there are lots of ways of going about that. But if we think of people as a secondary kind of component to our business, or in many cases it's always stakeholder value first, there are customers first, and then quality, and then people somehow get on the agenda around last, it's never a winning proposition, because you don't get any of those things, profitability, stakeholder value, great customer service, unless you really are focused on the right people in your organization. So that's what we're talking about. And every company, especially small companies, need to really leverage the opportunity to build the relationships, to set the direction of the company, and to give people an environment where they can do their best work. And when we do those basics, we tend to see much stronger results when profitability-wise.
You know, sometimes I think managers don't really think about it. For some reason, they lose sight of the fact of who they lose sight of who actually touches the most important people in their organization. Really, and for me, being the kind of guy that I am, and with my background, you know, employees are important, but nothing happens until somebody makes a sale, and no sale happens without a customer. So I think customers are the most important. I remember years ago when I used to train banks how to sell. I used to train banks how to install a selling culture in their business, in their banks. You know, I would talk to them about training their tellers how to sell, and the bank president would say, "What are you talking about, man? I just want you to come in and sell and train my loan officers." I say, "Well, let me ask you a question. How many customers would one of your loan officers see in an average day?" He said, "Oh, you know, maybe 8, 10, 12, maybe." I said, "Well, how many customers do you think your tellers see and talk to in any given day?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, the other day when I was through, when I made a deposit, I made it at the end of the day, and I think the number on my deposit slip was like 69 or 70 for that one teller."
Hmm.
And he hadn't thought about that. He hadn't thought about it. And, you know, and the point I'm making is we don't realize how important sometimes the receptionist is. The receptionist may talk to all the customers.
No question. And, you know, oftentimes the people that are your first interface or biggest interface with customers are, A, in the worst position possible in terms of pay, in terms of recognition, in
training,
terms of awards, training, I mean, all the stuff that we want people to do. And it's a really could be a missed opportunity. And I'm very interested in helping companies think about not only how do you get and keep a customer, but how do you leverage more business from them, you know, And a teller is a great opportunity to develop five or six more relationships with that customer around a credit card and or another loan, or a banking account, checking account. There's lots of other things you can do by just within that one transaction. But if you're not investing in your own tellers in the bank situation, for example, you're never going to get them to get another connection with that customer. I mean, I've never seen, Jim, an organization that treated employees badly and had great customer service. They just go hand in
hand. That's right. No, absolutely. Well, the thing is, a teller is going to have a much greater opportunity probably to run a customer off than they will to get them to, to come in and do more business with you, although they certainly can do that by being nice. I mean, people... It's just an example. I mean, people, when the people who answer my phone, I get compliments from the people we do business with, the people who contact you, Scott, about being on the show. I get compliments about them all the time, about what a good job they do and how nice they are. That's a direct reflection on my business. I'm not like their mother, where I'm glad that they're being polite. I'm their boss. I'm glad that they're treating my customers right.
Absolutely. Jim, we were writing this book, we interviewed and talked to lots of companies. Some we couldn't include because they just didn't get it. And one of the banks we talked
What did that look like when they didn't get it?
They really had no one. Well, I'll give you an example. Here's one of the banks we found. We had found that one of the banks had done, in the past 5 years, they had tried two things. And I think their goal was to minimize their teller and their teller costs. And so what they told their tellers to do was they told the customers they were going to charge $4 if you had to use a teller versus going to the ATM or online. And then so we were just appalled at that. And I said, what a missed opportunity. And they were very
so absurd. It's funny
that they were going to have this extra revenue stream. And I'm like, that you may charge your customer $4 each, but do you know that that's going to come back to haunt you by hundreds of dollars each? And then so we talked about that quite a bit. And the other thing was they had trained their tellers. They wanted the average interaction with a customer at the window to be less than 2 minutes. And I think in some ways it may have been around an efficiency approach. But I thought, wow, what an incredibly wasted opportunity to develop more business.
Oh, yeah.
So, the kind of thing that,
I'm figuring what they said was, okay, we're going to go through a 12-month process of getting rid of all our customers, but we want to make money every time somebody leaves. We want to make sure we make a little money. So let's charge them to do business with us. Stand by. That is so funny. I'll have to tell that story to some other folks. Tintel, we'll be right back with our good friend Dr. Scott K. Wood, the author of Destination Profit. He's the co-author along with Dr. Rita Bailey. Mr. Richard Pennyman, ladies and gentlemen, right here.
Good golly, Miss Molly, sure like the ball.
Of course, you know him as Little Richard. Classic rock and roll. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend, Dr. Scott K. Wood, and he's the author of, along with Rita Bailey, of the book Destination Profit. Scott, give us your website and tell us where your book's available, please.
Your best price is, and I always like the best price buying, is on Amazon.com. And you can check out the book more thoroughly at destinationprofit.com.
All right, so check that out when you get a chance. Okay, Scott, what are some other examples that you found out? I interrupted you a minute ago because I wanted you to tell us about what it looked like. Because I think sometimes if you tell people about the great examples, the really good companies, what they do, that's fine. But I think a lot of us will say, oh, yeah, that's like me. I'm like that. But if you hit them between the eyes with the people who don't get it, you make sure you stir in a little bit of that. That's when they say, oh, so that's what that looks like. I might be like that. So I like to make sure we get both sides of the picture.
Agreed, Jim. And I think when we run into the scenario quite a bit where in many cases if you're large enough to have an HR person, they might suggest a new benefit or a new type of program for employees, and leadership might say, no, that costs too much. Can't do that. And we've had that example from a popcorn machine to buying, some type of investment for the building. And, I always want leaders to make sure they ask the question, what will it cost? But also, what will it cost you if you don't do it? Because there's always a cost to not keeping up, you know, competitive wages. There's always a cost to not providing another kind of benefit for employees. So I really want to coach leaders to ask both sides of that. But another good example of some companies that didn't get it, and I call them inconsistent messages, and every organization has it, and they end up driving employees crazy. And a good example is I visited a firm, it was a manufacturer, and they made makeup. And if people realize my bio, I used to work at Revlon. This is not a Revlon story. It's another makeup story. And then, well, I was greeted at the front door by security guards who actually looked in my briefcase and backpack. And as their employees entered, they also looked in all their briefcases, you know, and exited the building. They looked in their briefcases and backpacks. But when I got down to the general manager's office, I was walking down the corridor to meet him. And on the wall were the five global principles of this company. And the number one principle was trust. So, you know, I sat down with a guy and we're talking. And I said, you know, I have to ask you about this. Your website and this poster here says your number one principle, your five global values. Well, the first one is trust. Mm-hmm. I said, yet you search your employees coming in and coming out. What's that about? And he pulled out this card from his back pocket and said, you know, hey, our leadership team went away on a retreat. They came back with these five values, and this is who we are. And I said, you know what? You don't really value trust. You value anti-theft. Yeah. I'm going to encourage you to take that word down and put up the word anti-theft. Just be real with your people.
Just tell the truth.
I didn't go much longer with him, and he's never invited me back. So I don't know if they ever switched that up or not, Jim. But that's just an example of where that comes back to haunt you repeatedly.
So,
when you do things like that.
So you fail the salesmanship, the part about the salesmanship training where you suck up to the prospect. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I do that quite a bit.
You kind of blew that.
I tell it like it is.
Well, you know, I'm proud of you for doing that. I was in a retail establishment the other day, and I bought some stuff and from a lady, and I went back later to pick it up and was talking to the manager. This was a retail chain. This is a chain organization. And so the manager was helping me with my stuff. Well, the lady who, to me, seemed to be obvious that she'd been there for quite some time. You know, she and the manager, you know, seemed to work well together. It wasn't like she was new or anything. The lady was getting ready to leave for the day, and she comes by the manager right in front of me and hands her purse. And the manager opens up the purse and looks in the purse, and then she closes it up and hands it back to the lady who had waited on me, and she left. And I said, what was that all about? She said, oh, we have to make sure nobody steals anything when they leave. And I said, I don't think I'd like working here.
Good for you.
You know, I said, if that's how you feel about me, if you can't stand to lose one knife out of 30 employees, you know, one employee steals from you, if you can't stand to let one knife go to keep from insulting 29 employees, you know, I don't know about that.
Well, it's exactly true, and it's, you know, employers oftentimes try to clamp down with all these administrative things like checking new bags and all these other things, and you know, that just tells me that if you've got people stealing, A, you've got the wrong people in the organization, get rid of them.
Right.
But I like your point as well, Jim. You're going to offend 29 or possibly even 30.
How about the customer? It changed my attitude about those, the whole organization. Hey, Scott, we got to wrap it up. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for being here today.
Jim, my pleasure. We'll talk again soon.
We sure will. Dr. Scott Caywood, ladies and gentlemen, Destination Profit is the name of his book. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.